The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, some of you may know that we now have 4 sheep around our home. And some of you may also know that personally, I have just no interest in sheep. Yet, you know, I have found them extremely interesting. And I just want to mention 3 things I've discovered very quickly about sheep. And I mention these 3 things with full apologies to Callum and all sheep lovers. The first thing I've discovered is this, that sheep are just not very intelligent. I'm sorry, however much you love them, they are just not bright. The second thing I've discovered very quickly about sheep is how they follow one another. They copy one another. One of them just runs away and the rest do it. They don't look to see why they're running away. They don't look to see where they're running to. If one runs away, they just copy one another. It's alarming. The third thing has been exemplified in Callum's story to the children. Their tremendous propensity to wander. And to wander into danger. If there's one place you don't want them to go, they will go to that place. If there's one shrub that will cause them harm and danger in the field around our home, they've discovered it. If there's a ditch, they'll find it. And I've never discovered how they manage in the field around our home. How can you get lost there? They get lost. We say, where are they? Where in this world are they? We're seeing the whole thing and they're not there, but they get lost. Can't we see how the Bible calls sinners sheep? We're not very bright. We just follow one another. Whether there's a reason to follow them or not, we just follow one another. Everyone's doing it, we do it too. And what a propensity we have to wander into danger. There's something else I heard about sheep this week. I don't know who it was that said it, but he said, the very existence of sheep on earth is proof conclusive of the falsehood of the evolutionary theory, the survival of the fittest. The survival of the fittest. How then are sheep with us today? How does a sheep defend itself? It has no sharp teeth. They have no sharp claws. They don't have a poisonous spit. They don't have a sting in their tail. What can a sheep do to defend itself? Well, the person who said the story said, all they do is stamp their feet. How? They can't defend themselves. The very fact that we have sheep today proves the falsehood of the survival of the fittest. As we heard in the children's story, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. But, you know, we were reading here in chapter 10 about false shepherds, hirelings. Hirelings are not genuine shepherds. And Jesus is giving us this story and these illustrations. In fact, verse tells us, verse 6 says, Jesus used this illustration to help us understand. The context of this chapter is there's false shepherds, but I am the true shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now, that's the background to this story. Chapter 9, which we looked at the last time, you remember, he could open the eyes of a blind man and still they wouldn't accept he was a prophet, the genuine Son of God. But something else we need to just mention that helps us understand John chapter 10. It's about sheepfolds in the east. Very different from the sheep pens we might imagine today. In the east, the Middle East, almost every village at this time had its own common sheepfold, which I think we could perhaps call a community sheepfold. And these sheepfolds had 12 foot high walls. And there was only one gate, one door. At night, shepherds would come with their own sheep, their own flock, and they would lead them into the sheepfold, this common utility, this community sheepfold. At the door, at the one gate, was what's called here a doorkeeper, but just a porter. And he would guard the door of the sheep all night. In the morning, the shepherds would come to collect their sheep. And the porter, having seen the shepherds the night before, recognized the shepherds. So they opened the door for the shepherd to go in the door, the gate. And then the shepherd would call his own sheep by name. And the sheep would recognize their name from the voice of their own shepherd. And then they would come out and follow the shepherd. That's the type of sheepfolds that they had with this 12-foot wall. The genuine shepherd would go in the front door. The hireling, the false shepherd, would climb up the 12-foot wall and steal the sheep. Well, I want to look at two things in these verses, this chapter, John chapter 10, under two headings. First, the true genuine shepherd. And secondly, the true sheep that are owned and belong to the shepherd. What are the marks? What's the marks of the true shepherd? And what's the marks of the true sheep? First, the true shepherd. First mark, verse 11. I give my life for the sheep. Ask the sects. Ask the cults who call at your door. What has your guru done for you? What has your prophet done for you? And I don't think they'll have much to say. They're more likely to tell you what he requires of us. But Jesus says, he died for his sheep. Muhammad died, but not for his sheep. Muhammad died because he had to. And you notice here, Jesus said he died, but you'll notice, and this is very relevant in an age of when euthanasia is being discussed. We say, don't we, our lives are our own, therefore I can do with it what I want. Well, actually, our lives are not our own. Our lives belong to God. God has given us our life. Here is Jesus, and he lays down his life for the sheep. But before he laid it down, he had to get permission from his father. Now, we read it there. Yes, verse 18, is it? Yes. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my father. Now, isn't that interesting? Even Christ could not lay down his life unless he first got permission from his father. I lay down my life for my sheep. It's very interesting. We've got to remember. He lays it down. Muhammad laid down his life because he had to. Christ didn't have to. He was sinless. He didn't have to. But he chose to do so. And he said, I've got power to lay it down because I've got authority. I've got a command from my father to lay it down. But he says, I've also got a power to rise again. Muhammad hasn't risen again. None of these other false prophets and gurus have risen again who died. But Christ has. But the important thing to remember is this. His life was not taken from him. As he says here, no man, no one takes it from me. I lay it down. And once again, in time of war, I read this week of a soldier who came home from the First World War with one arm. Friends saw him and said, oh, you lost your arm in the war. He says, no, I did not. I did not lose my arm in the war. I gave my arm in the war. Important thing to remember. Christ didn't lose his life. Christ gave his life for the sheep. That's the first mark, the first sign of the true shepherd. Second mark in verse 14. I know my sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. It's a two-way thing, as we'll come to notice when we look at the true sheep. They know him, but he knows them. You know, I must say, I think I find Matthew 7, 23, one of the most solemn, challenging verses in the whole Bible. Where Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. They prophesied in his name. They cast out devils in his name. They performed miracles in his name. And yet he has to say to them, I never knew you. You professed me, but I never knew you. That's challenging. That's searching. That's solemn, isn't it? You know, you know Alex Salmon. We all know him, don't we? We've all heard of Andy Murray. We've all heard of Susan Boyle. Don't tell me none of us here have heard of David Beckham. We know him. But listen, what if you arrived in Jacob Beckham's house and you rang his doorbell? He comes to the door. And you say, oh, I'm sorry to hear about your injury. I know you. He said, but wait, who are you? I don't know you. You know me, but I don't know you. Isn't that challenging? Christ knows his sheep. In what sense? In what sense does Jesus know his sheep? You see, I might live in Harley Street if I had the money. And next door I might be famous Harley Street surgeon. We're cutting our grass. Hello, Fred. I know him that way. It's my next door neighbour. He's a Harley Street surgeon. Very famous. Very good. I know him. But I don't know him as my doctor. I don't know him as my physician. I know him because I pass him in the street. I know him because we cut our gardens together. I know him that way. But Christ says, I know my sheep. As a doctor knows his patient. The doctor might say, well, I see you in my next door garden, but I've never seen you in my surgery. You're not one of my patients. You're my next door neighbor, but you're not my patient. The true shepherd knows his sheep as a doctor knows his patient. The true shepherd knows his sheep as a teacher knows his pupil. Are we in Christ's school? Do we learn of Christ? The word translated in the Bible, a disciple, is the same word that means a learner. Jesus said, learn of me. Jesus knows his sheep as a doctor knows his patient, as a teacher knows their pupils. Because they learn from them. They ask questions of them. Are we asking questions of Christ? Is Christ our friend? I know my sheep. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You're my friends. A friend confides. A friend tries to please one another. Well, the true shepherd says, I give my life for my sheep, and I know my sheep. But the third mark of the true shepherd here is Jesus loves his sheep to the point of dying for them. He loves them enough to die for them. And here's the thing. He knows them intimately and he still loves them. He still loves them. You know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. The more you get to know someone, maybe you've got some hero, maybe some preacher, and you think he's great. So then you get all his sermons and you put them in your MP3 player and you hear 10 of them a week. And after a month or so, he's not just quite as perfect as you thought he was. Familiarity. Once you get to know someone well, you see their flaws. You see they're not perfect. Well, Jesus knows you and me who are his sheep. He knows those he has saved very, very well. And he still loves them. He still loves them. You know, you might fancy someone. And then you get to know them and you say, well, I'm kind of going off them. Jesus has never ever said about anyone he loves, I'm kind of going off them. And he knows all about us. He knows all about us. He knows our sins. He knows how often we have let him down. He knows what we might yet do. And he still loves us. Have you ever spoken to a returning backslider? Someone who's really been backslidden and they come back. And one of the first things they seem to say is this, I just can't believe what I've done. Jesus knows what you can do and he still loves you if you believe in him and are one of his sheep. Jesus knows what we might do if we get off with it. You know very well, things go through your mind. What if I did this? Oh, no. You'll be caught right away. So you don't think about it. He knows the things you would do if you wouldn't be caught. And he still loves you. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible that I think is John 13. Well, it's a couple of verses, a couple of pages further on. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, when he knew that his hour to suffer had to come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, and here it is, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. What you sense is there is this. He had begun to love them. And then he discovered what they were really like. But having begun to love them and discover what they were really like, he continued to love them to the very end. That's the true shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep. And he still loves them to the very end. Now, the marks of the true sheep. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I think I'm a Christian. I'm not sure. I think. How can I tell that I am safely in the kingdom of heaven? How can I tell that I'm one of his sheep safely in that fold? Well, verse 9 should encourage you. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Anyone who enters through Christ is a genuine Christian. If you are here today, and you can say, it's only Christ I have. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm no better than I used to be. But I love Christ. And I'm sticking with him. Verse 9 should encourage you. Oh, you see, but my background doesn't matter. Jesus says, anyone who enters by me will definitely be saved. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Enter the kingdom of heaven through Christ and you are saved. You are one of his sheep. And then, as we said, second mark of them, as we mentioned earlier, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Christ's own sheep trust him. They trust him as their doctor. They trust him as their teacher. They trust him as their friend. They often just do not understand what's happening. They often do not understand why he puts them into certain situations. But his own sheep still trust him as their physician to heal them, as their teacher to instruct them, as their friend to love them. And you see, as the children's story pointed out, as verse 4 points, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They recognize his voice. When a false shepherd was not recognized by the porter and shouldn't be there, if he would call out the sheep, they wouldn't recognize his name. But the true shepherd, his own sheep, recognize his voice and they follow him. The sheep round my home is not mine. It's my son, daughter and son-in-law's. And their 6-year-old daughter knows their name, given them name, names. And she knows their names. Says, how on earth do you know their names? They're all the same to me. How do you know them? And she says, Grandpa, look at their ears. Look at their ears. They have a mark on the ear. That's how you can tell. She knows whether it's tufty or woolly or noisy. Mark on the ear. And that brought me back to a sermon I heard 30 years ago. And it goes on, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The mark of the ear and the mark of the foot. My sheep recognize my voice. But they don't just recognize it. They follow me. Their foot follow. Exactly what Callum was saying in the children's story. He had to go into the river before the sheep would go into the river and follow. The mark of the true Christian. They recognize the voice of Christ and they take his advice. They follow him. There's competing voices. They recognize the true voice. And they don't go for the voice that they like best. They go for the voice they recognize. The voice they follow. He leads them out. Notice the word he led. He leads them out and they follow. A shepherd doesn't drive. He leads them out. They don't need to be whipped. They know the true shepherd. You know, there used to be a saying, it was a long, long time since I heard the saying, but they used to have a saying, he knows who butters his bread. The sheep know who feed them. The sheep know who loves them. And they follow him. Even through the river that we were reading about. The sheep follow him. They recognize his voice and they follow him. And they feed on him. And verse 9 says that again. He will be saved. They'll go in and out and they'll find pasture. They know if Christians feed on Christ. What strengthens you? A voice? A word? From God, a word from Christ. What inspires you to hear Jesus speaking? I remember somebody saying to me, God spoke to me. I heard it through his word as clearly through his word. He said, you know, I thought I was forsaken. And I said, what did he say? Oh, he said, the last thing I wanted. I didn't want to hear that, but oh, it was wonderful to hear his voice. To hear his voice. At least he's speaking to me. I didn't want to go through that, like the sheep didn't want to go through the river. But when the shepherd came and led them through, what a difference it makes. Have you any of that experience? The shepherd, Christ being with you through a difficult patch, taking you by the hand, leading you through deep waters. Does his voice make you feel secure? Does his presence make you feel secure? Does his presence give you peace? True sheep recognize who belongs to them, who they belong to. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 14 talks about the shepherd owning the sheep. They recognize who they belong to. And sometimes, some have to make mistakes before they recognize and before they realize who they really belong to. Who feeds them? Who gives them comfort? Who owns them? Well, I suppose one of the best examples we can give is that little Pakistani boy who was Sahil Sahid, who was captured in Pakistan. And you remember one of the first things he said? All he wanted to see was his mummy. His mummy who owned him, his mummy who fed him, his mummy who loved him, his mummy who was crying for him, his mummy who was calling for him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Just one last word in conclusion. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you say, everything you say is for Christians, not for me. I'm not a Christian. I'm not one of Christ's sheep. Well, I want to end this sermon by leaving two verses with you, two scriptures with you. If you claim not to be his sheep, understand this, that this morning, through the gospel, he's calling to you. And he's calling you by name. You're a sinner. And he says, to you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of man. If you're not a son of man, I don't know what you are. You're a son of man. Listen to Christ calling in the scriptures. To you, O men, I call. To you, O human beings, I call. And my voice is to the sons of man. He's calling you. He's calling you. If you're not his sheep, he's calling you into his fold. And here's the last verse I'll leave with you. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. May God the Holy Spirit make his word effectual to every one of us. Let's pray.